Welcome to Community News and Review Live on 1230 WBZT and a special edition of Legal News and Review. I'm Philip Bell, your host, along with attorneys Charles Moorhead, president-elect of Broward County Bar Association, along with Gary Singer, co-chair of its Real Property section from the Broward County Bar. Charles Moorhead is a board-certified civil trial lawyer, and Gary Singer is board-certified in real estate law and a national columnist. You could see him on the front page of the Money section on Mondays from the Sun Sentinel and a host of other papers that are in the Tribune Network. But on today's program, scams are all over the place, from the IRS scams to the dating site scams, and even now attorneys fall victim to scams. Addressing these issues is one of the top attorneys in the United States, is Ronald L. Bell. Well, let's get going right now into scams. You know, everybody's out for our dollar, guys. You know, but what's amazing to me is that somebody would have the guts to try to scam attorneys. And I got to say it, guys, sometimes they get away with it.
I get it solicited every day from some scam.
Well, I get solicitation. According to Nigeria, I'm worth millions of dollars.
Phil, that's my money.
But on the phone, we have a leading attorney, and his name is Ronald L. Bell. And I like to say good evening, Ron.
Yes, hello.
Hi, good evening, Ron.
How are you?
We're doing great. You know, Ron, just so my audience doesn't get confused, you are my brother. At least that's what my mother and father told me.
Only related by marriage.
Only related by marriage, that's right. In all seriousness, we were talking about these scams, and you have a host of information about dating site scams, even clients who unfortunately got scammed by $200,000 plus. But you told me an interesting story, and apparently it's been going on for quite some time. This happened to you a few years ago, and I guess the scam was that someone gave you a large cashier's check, Ron.
Yeah. Well, let me explain something just to give you some idea what's going on here. Your listeners should be aware that they should never give any money ever from a solicitation through the Internet to anybody. And that means your mother, your brother, anybody. Because your brother or your mother email may be hacked.
Oh, that's right.
This happened to a judge, retired judge. He said he was in Ireland, he lost his wallet, and his email is hacked, so all the lawyers that he had on his emails were all solicited to send him $5,000 so he'd get home. Looks real. You feel it? You can't get a hold of anybody? What are you going to do? Okay? So, you never give any money from any solicitation on the Internet. Okay?
Yeah.
That's number one. And everybody will say, well, duh, I wouldn't do that. Well, guess what? In 2013, there was 781,481,000. Almost $1 billion was taken from Internet fraud. And that number was up one quarter, according to the FBI, from 2012.
Wow.
That's almost as much as Candy Crush.
Right. So either we're all idiots, okay?
Yeah.
Or these solicitations are getting very, very sophisticated. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody could be duped.
Well, they hack into the emails, and it's a legitimate email, as you said, for that lawyer. Sorry, for the judge. I would think that was from the judge.
Right. From your mother.
Yeah.
From your brother.
Well, my brother, I don't know if I'd send him money, but.
Well, that's correct. But the problem is that people see these things in writing, and somehow it gives validity to it. Okay? It makes sense. Of course, the guy in Nigeria wants to give me $500,000 if I send him $4,000 because, after all, I'm lucky today. Of course. These things were simple in the past and laughable in the past, like you made a joke about it.
Yeah.
Today, they're not laughable. And I'll give you an example, something I experienced. And I'm a litigator. I consider myself to be very cautious. I got a solicitation from somebody who needed to collect money from a company who he was selling And I think the parts were John Deere parts is what he alleged. Okay? And he sent me invoices. I sent the parts to them. I am a middleman. He never sent me any money. He's from out of state, of course. So I go on the internet and I check out that there's a building and the address he said. I call up the office independently. They answer the phone. Okay, fine. Send me the invoices. Sends me all these legitimate-looking invoices with the address of the other side. So I contact them, and I make a claim for the money, saying, well, how long is it going to take for them to get their money? Do I have to file suit? They go, oh, no, no, we meant to file the money. We'll send you a cashier's check, and the amount was $100,000. So I get a cashier's check in about 2 days. And I put it into my account, and I alert the client that, you know, I got the money, and it's coming. Then the harassment starts. Oh, we need the money quickly. You collected our money. We need the money tomorrow. We need it. You got a FedEx. It. Here's wire transfer instructions. Here's the instructions. And I always had a funny feeling about this, and I said, you know, this was too easy. There's something wrong here. Withhold your money for your commissions, and, you know, just send us the money quickly. So I waited the appropriate amount of time. In my case, I checked with the bank. It was 20 days. On the 20th day, I found out that that cashier's check was fraudulent.
Wow.
Okay? I mean, no account existed. It took them 20 days. And we're talking about Chase Bank, so we're not talking about any little bank. You know, I found out from their fraud department that there were 15 attorneys solicited in our area. I was the only attorney that did not fall for this. Okay? The rest of them paid out money. Now, what happens in the scam, so your listeners understand, is the attorney puts the money into his account. He then takes the money, wire transfers it, or transfers it by a check or whatever to another bank. They go into that bank. They pull out the money, and they walk away. The check bounces. Your account gets debited the $75,000, whether it's in there or not. You get debited $75,000. So the issue here was very clear. They're tapping in to what is somehow known as the checks kiting scheme.
Right.
That where they put the check in, and they it's a bogus check. And then in the lag time between the bank figuring this out, you send them the money, you get in trouble. Now, I was told by the bank after the fact that that would be fraud, and the money would be put back in your account, as they're doing to the other 15 people, over a period of 3 months. And, you know, that's what they told me. I don't know if that would be true.
Ron, this is Charles.
I have been solicited once or twice since that time period on a similar kind of deal. I'm very wary of it. I contacted our bar association.
Ron, Charles has a quick question.
Yeah.
I have two words anytime some client wants something like that done, and it's wire transfer. It's the only form of currency that can't be rescinded and as good as gold. All these checks and everything are always suspect and subject to being backcharged, stopped,
right,
canceled, you name it. And, you know, anytime I get a solicitation from a client that is not on the phone with a live voice and is from some foreign country or foreign state, and they're just are dying to send me their business that's worth a lot of money and how easy it's going to be for me, every red flag I have goes up, and wire transfer is my reply. And amazingly, the moment I tell them I only do business by wire transfer, I never hear from them again.
I hear you. Well, on the other hand, I received a solicitation from a client in California about parts that he delivered to Illinois, and that was legitimate. It all looked the same. He had the invoices, and he had the transfers of the property. They never paid him. He was legitimate. It's kind of hard to determine which one is phony and which one's legitimate. That one had all the paperwork, all the paper trails, name and model numbers of the invoices and everything else. So it is a trap. We know in Illinois that there's it's a person from Japan She says she's a lady. She uses various names, three or four different names. But it always says, I have a husband in your jurisdiction. The ARDC notified all its lawyers about this. I have a husband in your jurisdiction. Those magic three words. This is a known same kind of fraud. My husband owes me $300,000 in child support. He lives in your jurisdiction. Please send him a letter and collect it and take your piece of it, and then give me my money and send it over to me. We get those from that person, oh, maybe two times a month now. It used to be three or four times a month. All my associates that I practice with, they get the same kind of email. That's something that they're going after lawyers about, to collect money for people that are phony.
You know, what I found, this is Gary, Ron, what I found down here is it's not just big and it's not just for lawyers. There's a lot of people that will sell stuff on Craigslist or eBay, sell their car or their motorcycle. Someone comes up with a cashier's check, $6,000, they give them their motorcycle, they deposit the check. They're not asking for any money back, but guess what? The check doesn't clear. It was stopped. It was fraudulent. So in this day and age, you really just can't trust cashier's checks or official bank checks anymore.
Or even cash.
Cash sometimes can be very suspicious, too, if there's a lot of it and it's coming out of nowhere.
But then there's scams, now, Ron. You told me about scams.
Incident of fraud that I have come across, which was very disturbing, was a recent case where a dating site, where a person fell in love on a dating site, never met the person, and we're talking about a sophisticated person who has like a master's degree. We're not talking about somebody who's just lonely and stuff like that. Well, they tagged her, and they went after her. They Skyped her with family members. They gave her the phone number and everything else. Our research found that this phone number emanated from Indiana. When we met with the FBI informed us that a lot of these internet scams are coming out of Indiana.
Huh.
But Indiana is not where the phone really is. The phone really is out of the Philippines and China. We have to stop the use of American phones being able to be used in America by foreign persons in terms of adopting a number. There are services that you get an American number that could be traced like to Indiana, but you're really in China or you're really in the Philippines. And that's what happened in this particular case. Now, she lost over $200,000 of her retirement accounts.
Oh, my goodness.
And, she was solicited. This is a person that she was going to be engaged to. Of course, the real person and the pictures that they sent her and everything else, he wasn't involved, and he didn't know anything about it. He just took a picture of somebody that might be attractive for her.
And once that money leaves this country, it's gone. The FBI cannot reach.
It's a little bit worse than that. Doesn't have to be gone. The FBI has no authority to go outside the continental United States, and I mean not even to Canada or to Mexico or to the Philippines or to China. As soon as they tell you, it took them about 3 minutes when I was with them to determine that the number was fraudulent. Okay?
Yeah.
3 minutes. They said, here's the trace. We find it all the way back to the Philippines. I mean, like that, they found it. I go, what are you going to do about it? Oh, well, that's the other question. Unfortunately, we can't do anything about it. I go, one of our citizens just lost pretty much half of their retirement accounts, and you can't do anything about it? You know it's fraudulent? No, we're precluded. We can't go across the continental United States. So you have no protection whatsoever from any law enforcement person on any of these internet scams. The FBI cannot and will not assist you unless they could find somebody in the local United States. Okay?
Ron, one of the scams that I see going on down here, they somehow get a list of people who have some sort of credit card debt or whatnot. They'll steal a local attorney's name in the area. So let's say they'll say, hey, I'm Gary Singer. I'm calling up on the debt. And they'll start negotiating to collect the debt. They give the person a phone number and fax number and wiring information. Some of these people will wire to this scam operation. So, you know, the advice I want to put out to our listeners is that if an attorney reaches out to you to collect, it may be legit. It may not be legit. What you got to do is you got to go on one of the directories or the internet, look up that attorney yourself, and call back the number you find independently, not to confirm, not necessarily the number that they give you. And I'm sure this would work out also as well in a scenario like you're talking about on a dating site. Do your own research, do your own background checks. If you're going to be dating someone, especially if they start asking for money, find the numbers yourself. I bet you if she would have reached out to find the guy whose picture it was, he would have been very surprised to hear, and a lot of this could have been avoided.
Yeah.
So in this day and age, people really got to do their due diligence.
In Indiana, sent an investigator over there. You know what it turned out to be? It turned out to be a mailbox in front of a trailer park with no trailer on the lot.
Oh, my goodness. So it was a real
mailbox.
Address, but it was fictitious from the standpoint nobody was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was a scam. It actually existed. The mailbox existed, but the people did not. And, you know, in today's day and age, sophisticated listeners can, and they probably do know this, you could go on some website and get an FBI phone number and call and say you're the FBI. You could get a police department number and say you're the police department. And the number comes up on your caller ID as such.
That's right. There's apps. You can get an app. I have an app on my phone if I want to use it.
It's the bogus people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's just
that
they're very sophisticated.
Are we all that smart that we would not give this money to these people? No. There's almost $1 billion going out with no repercussions from law enforcement. I mean, zero. Absolutely zero. They do not get involved when they are out of state. All the FBI had to hear is they were out of state. Goodbye. Thank you. We're sorry for your loss. Goodbye. They will not help you because they say they cannot help you. Okay? So, you know, they're apologetic, but they said unless the laws change, you know, and one of the laws is allowing this false identity to be used without any repercussions. People are doing false identities. I personally got an email from the FBI about 3 days ago. It wasn't the FBI. It was a scam.
Hey, Ron, I don't want to cut you off. This is Gary Singer again. We only got about 90 seconds left. Maybe you can share with our listeners what they can do immediately within those 90 seconds to start protecting themselves.
Never send money from any solicitation on a email or on the internet. If you meet somebody on the internet, they need money or they coerce you, whatever it is, do not send money. If you want to give them money or you want to invest with them, you retain an attorney to go through the paperwork, to meet with the people, and to vent it out so that you are protected. You do not ever send money through the internet, and you don't wire transfer money when it looks too good and you get what looks like a cashier's check. Cashier's checks are the most fraudulent documents out there today, that your bank has to vent it, and you're okay if you take it in, but you don't write a check on it for 20 days at least.
But Gary Singer, I got a quick question.
Fine with it.
Before we go, Ron, Gary Singer, who's a real estate attorney, he's also in over 200-300 newspapers on the money section for real estate. I thought closings you bring a cashier's check to.
Now, I'll tell you, that's something that's changed in the last couple of years. I own a title and closing company called Gibraltar Title. We've been around for a while in Fort Lauderdale. And every closing company, including mine, only takes wires now. And it's a source of some drama, though people are starting to get used to it because it's about 2 years now that this change has occurred. But I'm going to let everyone know out there, if you're going to closing, make sure you have a wire ready to go. Your closing company will not take a cashier's check, even if you're coming right from the bank. It's just not going to happen. They're going to send you back to your bank to cash it back in, which you can do, which is part of the problem, and to send them a wire. And until that wire clears, you're not closed. So be ready for this.
Well, Ron, I appreciate you coming on. Ronald L. Bell, attorney. And Ron, if you want to give out your website or even phone number, you certainly can.
Well, my website is Best Lake County Attorney, and www.bestlakecountyattorney. And my phone number is 847-495-6000.
Yeah, you've had that almost for 30 years now. This is Ronald L. Bell, and Ronald L. Bell, attorney, practices out of Illinois, and he's well-known in the whole country, and very proud to say you're my brother. I mean that, Ron. I appreciate you taking the time to come on.